Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America.
The Music of America podcast continues and we wrap up our visit in Pennsylvania. Our guest today is a gentleman named Michael Batte, another one of our big record people. We'll talk about that and talk with Michael in a little bit. Speaking of big records, Trevor and Eileen Bild of Ordinary to Extraordinary Life have created, produced, and managed the largest all-original indie music Roku channel. It's called Otel Music Videos. It's like hotel without the H, O-T-E-L, or Ordinary to Extraordinary Life, O-T-E-L. They love to give back to help others be seen and heard for their life legacy. They welcome new submissions from a variety of genres, so visit their website. It's www.oteluniverse.com. Click on the What is Roku tab. You'll find a drop-down menu and click on Roku Channels. Complete the submit video form. Now, Roku is seen in 160 countries, has viewership of over 80 million active accounts worldwide. Be sure to add their channel to your Roku menu. Watch and give them a five-star rating, too. That's oteluniverse.com, www.otel, like hotel without the H, oteluniverse.com. And our guest today, Michael Batte from Morton, Pennsylvania, we actually met through Eileen Bild. And that's Big Record. Is that right? Big Record or Big Records?
It's definitely plural. There's a lot going on. So it's Big Records. Yes, Eileen and Trevor have been incredibly supportive the day I signed with Big Records, which I believe was back in maybe September-ish.
Oh, wow.
They were, you know, two of the first people I met. And as you know, incredibly supportive. They work so hard to try to get people like me heard, especially on their Roku channel. So I'm very grateful for their efforts.
That works for you then, huh? I've not talked to anybody since it. They sent me the copy to talk about Otel, so you're my first one. What's it like working with them in that regard, and what's the experience?
Yeah, so I personally, I must say, I don't have Roku, but I know there's a billion people who do have Roku. Yeah. And it's really neat when you submit your videos. I mean, there's literally a spot on Roku where you could watch, you know, indie music videos, and it's just such a great way to get exposure just in a different way. I mean, I never would have thought to have my music played and watched on Roku. I just never would have thought of that. So again, part of the muscle of Big Records is they have different avenues to try to get your music out there. So this was unique, and I'm very fortunate. I think they have two of my videos, I believe, are on there right now. Yep.
No kidding. What's it like shooting a video? I never did one. Never have done one. I never did one.
That's going to be, so as far as music, I've never actually done a real video. I've done videos for my real job, right? But for music, what's nice, Tom, is I'm a member of all these different, you know, video sites. So I get so much really incredibly well shot, well put together videos that I can kind of cut and splice and make it to fit the themes of my music. So to be honest, I use a lot of that. And then I will do a quick little video shoot. My wife will do a quick video shoot of me to like put me in there, maybe playing the chorus or something like that. So at least people know who I am, right?
Right.
But there's so many video sites out there, brother. You can get some really quality videos put together just sitting on your laptop.
That's so bizarre. I think of all these, the videos I think of in the early days of MTV, where I think of Michael Jackson was and Tom Petty had some of the best videos out there. They told a story. Think of Take On Me by Aha.
Oh, one of the greatest MTV videos of all time.
Probably the number one, you know?
Yep.
And who comes up with that stuff? And now you're able to do it on your own?
Things have changed. A lot of indie musicians, honestly, Tom, you know this, we have to put our musical budget, you know, kind of where we think it will hit. And I'll be honest, the full-length videos on the Rokus, that kind of thing is wonderful. Mm-hmm. But really, if you see the TikToks and the YouTube shorts, everything's 60 seconds or less.
Yeah.
But really, the idea of the full-blown hundreds of thousands of dollars for a video, I'm just not sure if that's where people put their money anymore.
You know, you don't watch a whole video anymore. You watch a snippet of, you know, Michael Batte.
There's a music marketing guy, Damian Keyes, who I follow, who's huge. And he will tell you the unfortunate part, just the way we do things now, the way society is, the way technology is, you have 3 seconds. 3 seconds for me to make you want to stay on my thing, whatever you're looking at.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're gone, man. I got 3 seconds to capture you or you're gone. That's the way it is now.
Years ago, I read a book, and it's the best marketing book out there. You can buy it on Amazon now for probably $3. And it's called Positioning, The Battle for the Mind. And it talks about how we, our brains are just inundated from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed with advertised images. I mean, just right now in my studio, I'm looking at an advertised mic, talking to you through my advertised computer, with my advertised TV up here, and it's sitting on my, of all things, a keyboard stand advertised by Casio, you know? And that's just what I'm dealing with right here in this, all right? So the book Positioning talks about getting through all that stuff and being in the forefront, having something unique. And the example I give when I talk about this book is back in the 60s, there were the Cola Wars, Coke, Pepsi, Coke, Pepsi. The number one soft drink? 7-Up. because they positioned themselves as the un-cola. Yeah. And for decades, that's how they were known. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm out of my rabbit holes. But that's really cool, though, that, that's what's happened with video and technology. It really makes sense when you say that, too, about our attention span.
Yep.
So when you write, do you think video? Or do you, when you do video, do you think, or when you decide what song you want to do on video, do you kind of have an idea how you want it to go?
Yeah, I've done two. And what I try to do is, you know, take snippets of the song and try to find themes that fit that particular, you know, stanza or whatever, that particular part in the song, and try to find things that, you know, have a visual representation. And I try to do it like every so often in the verse and chorus to change it up. But it's amazing how, like I said, there's so much information out there.
Yeah.
The videos that I've put together, the videos behind the words, behind the song, it matches really well. And none of this was made for me. But just, I guess, the things that I write, there are ways of visually representing that. And it's really cool to do. It's fun to do. I use a program called Canva, which a lot of people use. And I do all my snippets and videos in Canva. And listen, Tom, if I can do it, anybody can do it. This old dog learned a new trick.
Case in point, I'm doing a podcast at 68, you know.
68? Yeah. Oh my, I want to be like you when I grow up.
Yeah, I want to be like me when I grow up. No, I don't.
I'm only 54, but I feel like I'm going to 68.
you look like you're in your 40s, so congrats
to you. I'm trying, man.
So when did you start playing? Did you sing before you played music? Or did you play music before you started singing? Or did they go hand in hand? What's your history?
Yeah, for me, I mean, if you want to go, it depends on how far back you want to go. If you want to go back to like the beginning, I always joke that my father's voice was my first voice. You know, Tom, he sang more than he spoke.
Really?
He was a member, I mean, nothing professionally, but, you know, a member of everything locally. You know, he was a member of the local barbershop quartets, a cappella music. Have you ever heard of
that? Oh, yeah.
Very challenging. And he was the leader of the local church choir. So I'm up there jamming with him in the church choir. And then he was a member of like the local music theater groups and the big ones like Sound of Music and My Fair Lady and Fiddler on the Roof. So growing up, I'll tell you, Tom, memorizing some of the songs to those productions did not make me the coolest kid. But hey, I overcame. I made it through. So honestly, like musical theater and singing was kind of the first thing. And then I never really touched a guitar until I got married in 1995, and that was an awful experience. Tom, I thought, honest to goodness, I swear.
Which was the awful experience, getting married or touching the guitar?
No, the guitar. My wife's probably listening right now. It was the guitar. It was the guitar, as far as she knows. I will tell you, Tom, I honestly thought that if you just pushed a couple of strings, you just hit the thing, and all these angelic sounds were going to come out, and I will tell you, as God is my witness, that is not how it worked for me. It was awful. So it was a bad gig. So I never got serious about music until really COVID. Until once COVID came, as you know,
kidding.
The world shut down, man. And I had time on my hands. I never recorded a note in my life until 2020-ish.
Wow.
And this whole Michael Batte band, as we know it, in a time of, you know, chaos and confusion and uncertainty, I was desperate for something positive, something to create, something that was mine.
Yeah.
Hence, the Michael Batte band was formed.
That is so cool. That's such a great story. It really is. It's uplifting and it's empowering, and I love that. You know, because I talk to people here all the time, and they talk about how COVID kicked my butt, and you know, when we broke up, and I had to restart, and I didn't know what to do, and COVID hit, and I lost all this money because we weren't playing. We're doing we're doing 300 nights a week, a year rather. You know, 300 nights a week. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
and then we go to zero, and you know, I mean, I hear all the despairing, you know, the bad and the horror stories. This is so positive and so cool.
You know,
like
I can hide
out
behind
of that.
It. Yeah, I can hide behind the fact that I didn't have that, that previous life. I kind of came into this a little bit differently. I mean, I had been messing around playing for decades, but I just never really thought anyone wanted to hear. Any musician will tell you it's terrifying when people hear what you have to say. A famous musician that I follow said it's open heart surgery. So a lot of musicians play and write, in the corner like me for years, but like we're terrified of putting it out until I met my producer. Once I met Bob Beals from Sound Foundation Studios, and I sent him one of my demos. I learned how to record demos over COVID because I had to figure out some way putting stuff out there. So I bought a DAW and stuff and learned how to record demos. But once I sent my demo to my current producer and I heard like what we can make me sound like, I thought, oh man, I'm in. I'm in. So
That's
I got
cool.
my producer and we've done, I think, the one on March 1st, I think we're going to talk about I Got a Song, I believe was our seventh release now together.
Wow. Because I knew of three. You've got seven.
Seven, yeah. I Got a
Pretty
Song,
cool.
I believe was seven. I'm doing the math right.
Do you release a single and then put together a compilation and do an album? Or do you wait till you have enough for like an EP and release that? Or do you put a whole album together? What's your philosophy on that?
That's funny you asked that. So before I met Bob, when I just started this whole gig, and I thought I was going to be this self-contained unit, man, I was going to do everything myself. I don't need anybody else, right? Youth, right? I thought I was young. So I put out an EP called Radiate, oddly enough. And there was five songs on that EP. And look, Tom, it was a respectable output. It was. I mean, if you played it against some other indie songs, maybe it would hold its own. But once I heard what Bob can make me sound like, I ripped that thing out of the universe so fast. And now Bob and I are going through all the songs that I did by myself. So I believe Radiate is one of the songs we're going to talk about. That was the first song off my self-produced EP that I ripped out of the universe. And thank God I did, because if you heard my version versus a professionally 40-year veteran produced version, it's very different. It's
So
very different.
it's funny because just recently, Paul McCartney re-released "Band on the Run," and it's called "Underdubbed," I think,
Yeah, is that what it was?
something like that. And what it was is the product or the what we bought was the produced version, but "Underdubbed" is not all the bells and whistles, not all the things that the producer does that makes that finished product. And
Exactly, yeah.
standing alone, it's a really good album. And then you listen to the finished product that was released, 25 years, 30 years ago, or whatever, and it's a great album.
Oh, I can believe that. See, Paul McCartney and I are a little bit different. He can do that. I can't. Just to be clear for all your
just a
listeners,
little bit different,
he
yeah.
can do that.
Right.
I can't.
I'm like that with all songwriters. I have that slight difference that they can and I can't. So you brought up Radiate. Let's go ahead and talk about it because it's the first song we're going to listen to, and it's the first song off your first EP, you said. Right?
It was the one that I ripped out of the universe. Now it's just my sixth release, right? So that released back in, oh gosh, that released in October. Oh my gosh, October. And that was the first release through Big Records. So there was sort of like my pre-life, my pre-releases before Big Records. Then there was releases after Big Records. And I will say, Radiate, Tom, I'm so happy to say that, through the muscle of Big Records, they submitted that song to Cashbox Magazine. I'm hoping you're familiar with Cashbox Magazine. They've been doing this for 80 years.
Right. I was in radio for
And
about 10. It was between Cashbox and Billboard, and we always argued with our boss. He always got us Billboard, and I said Cashbox is so much more accurate.
oh, well, glad you said that because Radiate made it up to number 42 on
No
the
kidding.
Pop Rock Top 100. Yeah, I just couldn't believe it. And then now it's at 55. We dropped a little bit, but maybe after this podcast, it'll go back up. But yeah, we made it to number 42 on radio on the Cashbox Magazine Pop Rock Top 100. So yeah, Radiate kind of made some noise. It was my first release with Big Records, and I'm so happy with what happened to it. And it's still breathing, it's still living, even though we did release another one. I'm very fortunate that Big Records had that muscle to get me some notoriety like they did.
Well, when my very first radio gig, we were a top 40 radio station. We were actually a top 50. So you would have been in rotation if we went by Cashbox and not by Billboard. But it's that last tier, that 40 to 50 tier, that was always different between, and there was a third one called R&R, Radio and Records. And that's the one we really wanted to get. But they're probably extinct now because that was two, three lifetimes ago. Over 40 years ago, but Cashbox and Billboard were the two, basically the two. And the big difference that I noticed was not always who fought for number one, because sometimes they'd go back and forth. But it was always in that like I mean, even let's say like 35 to 50 where the big difference was and how they decided what was what, I don't know. But had we used Cashbox and you were out back when I was in radio, you'd have been in our automatic rotation because we had a specific part in our rotation pie where we'd play number 40 to 50.
Ah, I think when we were at 42, that was February. February, we were at 42. March, we slipped a little bit. Yeah. But I think there was an artist that had the number one song. I think her name is Taylor Swift.
I've heard of her.
How do you say her word?
Barbara Fast, right? No. Barbara Fast? No, Taylor. Taylor, not Barbara.
She was number one.
That's a surprise. So what's it about? What is Radiate about?
Oh, my goodness. Radiate. So Radiate was a COVID song. And I will say, you were very kind to say that the Michael Batte band being formed was a very positive thing over COVID. But unfortunately, we won't get into all the details, but COVID was remarkably unkind to me and my family. So Radiate is essentially me. You know, once the day was through, you know, my wife and I would kind of say, okay, you know, we made it through this day. So what I would do is go out to a little area in my backyard. I'm very fortunate. I have some property and some nice trees in the back. And I would honestly, Tom, sit under some trees on a bench and just desperately try to think of my blessings. And when a man's looking at the abyss, it's very difficult to think of your blessings. Yeah. So I would sit out there, just think of my blessings, desperately try to use the power of the mind and radiate. So that was me radiating, trying to get through the day. So I just came up with the song, Radiate. And when you listen to the chorus, it kind of does make sense now that I'm explaining it. So it's my way of just, recognizing blessings, using the power of the mind, and trying to overcome adversity. And I got to say, it's caught on to a lot of people. I've gotten so many messages from people saying, yeah, I get it. Like, I've been there. I want to radiate. And I use the hashtags, just radiate as much as I can. And so that one kind of made some noise. I'm very, very fortunate, very happy about that song. It's one of my favorites. Yeah.
Well, we're going to listen to it now. It's Michael Batte, Michael Batte Band from Morton, Pennsylvania, and the song called Radiate here on the Music of America podcast.
I close my eyes and then I close my eyes and then I radiate. Sudden earthquake, but I see Orion floating right on by, and I hear the sisters singing across a boundless sky. I can't find the forest through the trees. I'll ask the wise man, can you release me? I close my eyes and then I radiate. Purify and then I consecrate. I may start slow but I accelerate. I close my eyes and then I radiate. Just my words, colored with everything that I've said and heard. My cup is full, but I cannot hold it. I took a drink, but then I went out and sold it. I can't find the forest through the trees. I'll ask the wise man, can you release me? Close my eyes and then I radiate. I purify and then I consecrate. I may start slow but I accelerate. I close my eyes and then I radiate. just great. I may start slow, but I accelerate. I close my eyes and then I radiate.
Radiate with Michael Batte and Michael Batte Band, The Bag. Bass players, listen up. The Bag. It's a high-quality leather gig bag family of products that are handmade in the United States with the finest craftsmanship and a beautiful, sophisticated, and very cool overall appearance. They're made of some of the finest quality leather cushion available and meant to last literally a lifetime. There's over 30 years' experience in the leather industry behind this bag, or The Bag, this whole line of bags. They're extremely proud to introduce a line of gig bags targeted at both the skilled professional, Michael, as well as the fun-seeking novice, me. Their hope is that you'll love The Bag as much as they do. The Bag from Tony Vaughn Bass Bags. It's at www.tonyvaughn.com. Or just find The Bag at Musician's Friend or Stillwater or Guitar Center or wherever you buy your gear. And we kind of didn't really talk about that much, Michael. You said you started with the guitar. And now you're a guitar player, right?
Yeah, I don't know what a guitar player is, but for me, honestly, you know, I surround myself with incredibly talented people. I'm four chords in a cloud of dust. I'm the rhythm. I'm the vocals. And that's okay, because I'm pretty sure Lou Reed, I'll have to look this up, I'm pretty sure he said, once you get past three chords, now you're talking jazz. So I'm just four chords in a cloud of dust, brother. That's me.
I love that. I love that line. So when you write, though, you write at the guitar?
Or do
you
I always do. Yeah, it's always just always in the ear. I mean, you got to put some rhythm and then the phrasing. A lot of times when you write, you got to get the phrasing down. If you have an idea of a melody or a chorus, you just can't slam a bunch of words into a certain period of time. And so I like to have the guitar so I can work out some phrasing and word choice and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think a lot of people probably do it that way. I'm no different than most, probably.
It's actually really funny. I've said this a lot, and I'll say this a lot on the show. I could line up 100 songwriters. And 70 of them will have a different way of doing it. And the other 30 will say, well, I kind of do what Michael does, but I also do a little bit what Tom does and a little bit what Sarah does. You know, it's like a cornucopia, but there's no one way to do it. There's no one way that anybody's. So my question, where I guess I'll go to first, is where does your inspiration come from? Does it come from an idea for a lyric or an idea for a melody?
So I will tell you how I wish my inspiration came. Then I'll tell you how it actually comes. So I wish I could say, Tom, it's a Sunday afternoon. It's a beautiful day. I'm going to take my book. I have my book here and my guitar and go sit under a tree. And I'm going to write a song in 2 hours. That would be lovely to have that happen. But my wife will tell you, I'm the idiot that wakes up at 3 a.m. Holy cow, I got a chorus. I got a line in my head. Wait a minute, where's my phone? So I'll feverishly try to sing something into the phone, which is a wreck, or I'll go to my notes app and try to type in words or maybe a chorus or something, some idea. The most fun is the next morning trying to decipher what I was trying to do. But it's just, I come in like these thunderbolt moments. I'm driving down I-95 and I'll open up my notes app and just start singing something. Like, I don't know, I just can't have these thunderbolt moments. But honestly, a lot of it does come from me listening to music. I'll listen to a song and think, wow, I dig that change. Now, wait a minute, that change kind of fit maybe that lyric I wrote 5 years ago. It's just all puzzle pieces. A lot of writers will tell you they have a lot of different puzzle pieces, and you got to put those pieces together. And they're not all necessarily written at the same time together. Right. One of my favorite, two of my favorite musicians, Mark Tremonti and Miles Kennedy from a band called Alter Bridge, have puzzle pieces that are decades old, and they'll sometimes like fit them together, and all of a sudden it becomes a song. That's kind of how I do it.
There's a woman I talked to from Alaska, and her name escapes me right now, but what she does is she'll write something down on a scrap of paper or a matchbook or a napkin or whatever, and then when it's time to write music, write songs, she spreads all these little things out on a table, and she'll look and she'll, oh, that phrase goes with this phrase over here, so set that over here, and that goes with this, and I'll set that over here, and those all kind of go together. It's amazing.
It's true. It's true. And what's funny is I have on my notes app a section called Ramblings. So if I have an idea for a melody or a verse, or I'll just put these random ramblings in there, and then I have over time gone through and put some of these ramblings together to become, you know, parts of songs. I think we all kind of do that. You think of something, you write it down, and you might not touch it for 10 years. Who knows?
I'm working on a couple musicals, okay? And I won't say what they are, but I'll do that thing that you're talking about. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll write it down, or I'll say it on my phone. And my voice to text isn't that accurate, okay?
No.
And then the next day I'll say, oh, I had this great idea about such and such. And I'll go listen, like, what the hell was I even saying?
Oh, the funniest thing is when I try to sing on key when I have a chorus, because I have like an idea in my head. That's a wreck. That's a complete wreck when I look at it the next day.
That's funny. But here we go. Now, what's this? But you do it my way.
Yeah, I will say, Frank Sinatra did it my way, and I do it, I guess, my way.
And is that, because when I get music, and I'll tell people this all the time, I get music from people, and they'll, I'll get a song called Help.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if this is their version of, or another one is like, I Love You is a big one. I get quite a few I Love You songs, and there's so many songs called I Love You. Well, my way, of course, I'm thinking Sinatra, Yeah.
No, absolutely. Just coincidentally, to be honest, when I named it My Way, I never even thought about the Sinatra song. They are not, have nothing to do with each other, but it is cool to have a song at least named after one of the greatest, if not the greatest, crooner of all time. So
I'll take it too. So what is My Way your way of coming out of COVID? Is your way how you're developing your path?
Yeah, so My Way, what's interesting about My Way is I started writing that 25 years ago.
Oh,
and
wow.
I finished it 20 years ago, and I remember exactly where and when and why I finished it 20 years ago. And it sat in a book, Tom, for, 19 and a half years it sat in a book. And I finally, so what's funny is I presented that to my producer. I pitched it to him twice, and he passed on it. And the third time, I finally got him. And the reason is, we had been doing a lot of like the country rock kind of stuff. I first started in that kind of country rock theme, and we were doing kind of upbeat, kind of fun songs, Beautiful Day, Leave This Town, Here We Go, big choruses. My Way is more of a subdued, very, reflective, very vulnerable, almost singer-songwriter type song about some tough subject matter. It's really about, folks who struggle with, various mental health issues and who are maybe afraid to ask for help. So the song is all about, look, it's okay to ask for help, to help, people help find my way or to help find your way. That's what the song's all about. But it wasn't that fun campfire song,
Right.
A little bit different. So we waited and waited. And finally, after we had a couple of nice, up-tempo songs, and we thought, let's change it up a little bit. And I never promoted the song. I never did anything with it. But I am so proud that we finally, had the desire to release it, and that Bob, actually my producer, took it. And this is probably my favorite song, although I don't think anyone's ever heard it.
Well, a lot of people are going to hear it right now.
Yeah. You're going to be one of the first. Yeah.
There we go. Well, the song is called My Way. Our guest today, Michael Batte and the Michael Batte Band, here on the Music of America podcast.
Faces fading, a distant dream I can't define, I can't define. These chains are slowly wearing, I tried in vain to hold back time. They speak to me with such disdain, with such disdain. I can't see behind me through the tainted window pane. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The view provides some clarity of what lies in front of me. The roots are broken, but my wings are open, come what may. Help me find my way. ground beneath me. It seems too far, my hands are tied. My hands are tied. A sensory confusion, my sense of touch has been denied. Of it perfect, all the morning can't come round too soon, oh, round too soon. I walk into the garden and cut the fragile flowers in bloom. Oh, the view provides some clarity of what lies in front of me. The roots are broken, but my wings are open, come what may. Help me find my way. Help me find my way. Help me find my way.
Michael Batte and the Michael Batte Band. We're going to talk about the band, and we've got a new song of Michael's we're going to talk about too here in just a moment. You meet, you fall in love, you commit to each other. That's the easy part. But somehow after 2 years or so, things begin to be challenging. Emotions and flair have waned. You disagree more, feeling disillusioned at times. But this period of disappointment can last a long time, even years. That's usually when couples seek out a therapist to help learn better communication skills. 2 years after Forever, a relationship workbook is dedicated to help couples find that effective communication. The guidebook is sort of a how-to book, really. It teaches you some skills to learn about communication deficiencies that likely exist, but better, it offers exercises for you to improve those skills and be better communicators, better partners. 2 years after Forever. It's not a self-help book. It's a workbook. You have to do the work and testify. I mean, I'm doing it myself. I'm going through this book now myself. And if you don't do the work, you're wasting your time. But if you do these exercises and do them together, apply the lessons learned, you'll absolutely see a difference in all your relationships, particularly the ones that you wanted to last into the future, like Forever. 2 years after Forever. Author Mike Pollard, 30-year therapist. 2yearsafterforever.com. Available at Amazon today. And Forever. Michael Batte and the Michael Batte Band, and we haven't mentioned the band. You did say that you surround yourself with these incredible musicians, so let's give a shout out to some of them if you'd like.
So Tom, this is 2024, and I will say the Michael Batte Band is me and my producer, Bob Beals from South Foundation Studios.
Okay.
Because I record here. So what's funny is he and I, you know, I feel like I've known him forever. We've done 7 releases. I have never sat in a room with him to date. And you hear this all the time, especially post-COVID. Yeah. I record here locally. He has, of course, a huge studio where he lives. And we send files back and forth and work back and forth and do this all the time and come up with the final arrangement and production. So that is the band. It's not necessarily, you know, a bunch of us living in my, you know, spare bedroom, which would have been back in the day. It's me and my producer, and you probably know more than me, but you'd be surprised how much music is made this way.
Oh, almost all of it. Yeah, I'm serious, almost all of it anymore. I mean, the trend used to be go in the studio, or write some songs, go in the studio, record them, release a single, and then tour to promote your album. Okay, Well, now with technology as it is, and people don't buy records, they don't buy CDs. I mean, I do, and you know, I always keep a couple of them nearby just
well,
to
right on.
When I go to a Michael Batte show, I want to buy your CD. Yeah, I don't. I've got a 2009 Honda CRV that's got a CD player in it.
Oh, you have one. I don't even have a CD player.
Exactly. People don't have them anymore, but I do. I do, and I make sure I listen to my CDs and buy them. And it supports the artist. But now it's about to support the artist. You got to go download a file someplace, and you might make 3 cents on a song, you know?
A 0.0003 cents on a song.
Yeah. It's so tough. So where do you make your money? You make your money in merch. How do you make your money in merch? You got a tour. So how does the Michael Batte band that doesn't have a band tour? And that's what I run into a lot with a lot of these guys that do everything electronically. You know, the drummer's in Tokyo. You know, I've got a band where the drummer's in Tokyo and they have keyboard players in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And they're selling thousands of records all over the world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's very, very different. Again, it's 2024. I will say, again, part of the muscle of being, you know, with big records, they've already identified within the family a band that I could use that would be, you know, my backing band, and I would be the...
Oh, no kidding. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different tours. They're always talking about different things in different places. And so there are things coming up this year. Nothing to announce just yet. Nothing's been finalized. But not to worry, if I ever do get put onto a slot, there's a lot of people that want to be on the tours. But if I get to be put on one, there's a really good chance I will have a band ready to roll. And I've heard them. I know them. They are phenomenal. They can handle my four chords in a cloud of dust.
They can do it. I love that four chords in a cloud of dust. So you get a new album out, and we're going to hear a song from your new album. Let's tell us about how that whole thing evolved, how the album came about, the concept of the album, and when you decided to, it's time for this album to come out.
Yeah, so this is just a single that came out.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Just singles. Yeah, I haven't really done any. To be honest, Tom, I'm not really sure what the point of an album is anymore. I understand of having a big cohesive, you know, collection of music, but everyone just picks and chooses the one songs they like and they save them. So I'm not saying albums are obsolete. I'm not sure if I'm going to do one. I don't know. We'll see what Big Record says. But right now they want, you know, they like a single about every 4 months. That seems to
be it.
Yeah. So I got a song, just came out March 1st, my second release. And this is a big release for us because this is my real first step into like the pop alt rock world. Radiate hovered. I don't know if you noticed, but in Radiate, we kept a banjo and a light banjo in the chorus and the second verse to kind of make that transition from country rock to kind of alt pop rock. Mm-hmm. I got a song that's full kind of alt pop rock. And really, Tom, I'm kind of self-proclaiming this as a bit of a musician's anthem because I wrote it kind of for us, as us. Mm-hmm. So what it's all about is I got a song that's about, you know, musicians like me, like us, who sometimes have trouble communicating through traditional means, and maybe even doing something like this might be tough. However, when we are given a chance to use our art as our voice, Tom, you know what happens. We speak volumes, oceans, galaxies of information. And that's what I Got a Song is all about using your art as your voice. And I'm very happy to say that on ISSA Radio, a big organization that I'm a part of, International Singer-Songwriters Association, the night before it released, it debuted at number one in our top 15 on the Rick Spin Show.
Wow.
So that was phenomenal to debut at number one the day before it released.
That's really cool.
I'm so, you know, happy that, you know, Rick and Tammany and ISSA Radio felt that it was worthy enough to put it on, and it was, you know, debuted at number one. So that made me really happy. I was very happy about that one.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear it. So let's give it a listen.
I hope you like it. I built it up.
Yeah. Of course we're going to like it. Michael Batte, Morton, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philly, right? Outside of Philly?
Yeah, it's outside of Philly. It takes me about 25 minutes to get into the heart of the city.
Okay. And we didn't, how about this? We didn't even talk hockey. How about that? I'm so impressed with myself getting on with somebody from Philadelphia and not talking about...
Well, I'm going to burst your bubble. I'm not from Philadelphia. I am born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Go Penguins. Pens. They hate me here, brother. They hate me here in Philadelphia.
I was at the All-Star game in St. Louis when Mario Lemieux scored 6 goals.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was amazing. Pretty cool.
Yeah, they hate me here, brother. Philly and Pittsburgh do not get along on the hockey.
I get that. Totally. Totally.
They don't like me. And they should like me because we win a lot of cups.
That's right. They should be envious.
Yeah.
Although I gotta say, I love Philly's coach. I love Tortorella. I think he's He's something. He's whipped these boys into something, that's for sure. Anyway, down another rabbit hole. Let's get back to the song. Michael Batte here from Morton, Pennsylvania, and his new song, I've Got a Song, here on the Music of America podcast. A song, Michael Batte Band, here on the Music of America podcast. And Michael, it's time for me to shut up and for you to shine. This is the segment of the show we call Shameless Self-Promotion. So please, self-promote away.
Well, here's the good news. If you just type in Michael Batte Band anywhere, you're going to find me. The good news about distributing music, and I'm very fortunate to be a part of the Sony Orchard family. So again, as part of the Big Records muscle, my music is distributed through a subsidiary of Sony. So that's kind of a big deal for me. Wow. So when you do that, they put you, Tom, on every platform known to man, some of which I've never even heard of before. So Michael Batte Band is everywhere. However, Twitter, it was too long, so it's just M Batte Band. But I don't do too much with music in Twitter. But
yeah.
Michael Batte Band, Botte, if you type that into the thing called Google, you'll find me everywhere.
So are you on TikTok? Because we were talking about like the short bits.
Yeah, I just did a TikTok. I gotta say, my daughter finally said, "Dad, you got to do a TikTok thing." So I did a TikTok thing, and I do put up a couple of quick shorts or something. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's, you get views and streams. I can't say I use it much. I mean, I live on Facebook. Really, is where everything happens. That's my ecosystem where I kind of drive everything to. But yes, I officially, this old dude has a TikTok profile.
No, I was, because they're talking about making TikTok illegal.
The government's been talking about that for a long, long time. I don't know how that would work. I don't know how the FCC would regulate something like that, but there has been speak of banning that URL or somehow the app in America. I don't know how you would enforce that. I don't know much about that. All I know is I do have a profile and there are shorts on there.
There you go. So, but to get to you, the best vehicle still is through Facebook, period, right?
Facebook, I live on. Spotify is kind of where most people listen to me. I mean, everyone has their own way of listening to music. Yep. I like Spotify. I know it's a polarizing subject, but as a listener, I love Spotify. As a musician, maybe not so much, but as a listener, I love Spotify. So that's where I live.
Okay. Merch? Do you get merch?
Website. I have a website, michaelbateband.com. Yes, there was a merch site there that the company had me do, and I use the hashtag music is my therapy. That's kind of what I like to use as my tagline. So everything I have does say music is my therapy, if that's something that's of interest, at least for now.
There's a buddy of mine that lives out in Rome, New York, and your style and his style would complement each other so well. I would love to put something together, have you guys meet each other and have you do something. I think it's just me fantasizing about, you know, one of the things that at some point in time with the Music America podcast we've talked about doing is doing live shows.
Yeah.
Like a music festival, Music of America Music Festival, and we set up in regions. So we'll set up maybe 7 on a year, you know.
Awesome.
I think it'd be so much fun, man, and have my Northeastern guys, have you and my other New York people, my New York State people, my Jersey people, my Rhode Island people, all
in. It's a great idea. You have a great idea. This is something that you need to propagate, and this is a great idea. I like this idea.
I like it too. Yeah. And everybody gets to sell their merch, you know. Michael Bate, thank you so much for being our guest today. And it's been fun, and it just goes by too quick. And so did Pennsylvania. So bye to Pennsylvania. Up next, we'll head to the tiny state of Rhode Island next week here on the Music of America podcast.
You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. If you like today's show, please go to the website at www.musicofamericapod.com or our Music of America podcast Facebook page. Like us and follow the show and episodes. We tally the votes of all our shows, and the most listened to shows will be rebroadcast on our best of shows at the end of the season. I look forward to having you with us again and listening to the Music of America podcast.